something. We ask from time to time for names for people for our card writing teams, and we haven't asked in a little while because we've had sort of a surplus for various reasons. But that surplus is running out, and so if you have names of people who are local, who are lost, and you would like for our card writing teams to encourage, please give that to me or to Sherry or to Noah. Today or tomorrow, bring it to Mission Monday tomorrow evening, or text the office tomorrow. We would greatly appreciate that. And the card writing teams are doing a great job encouraging. But again, we've had a bit of a surplus of names, but now that's running out. So if you could get some names to us of people that we could encourage and hopefully in the future set up Bible studies with, we would greatly, greatly appreciate that. So Leah, I'm not used to being the shortest one to lead in worship. It's a different deal tonight. I was like, yeah. Do some little difference now. As God's people, we know that we're to be doing all that we can. We strive to be like Jesus. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 describes as one who went about doing good. And so sometimes, though, we struggle to draw a line. We struggle to put a boundary. Sometimes we struggle with good things of when to say no. Tonight's lesson is not about when to say no to sinful things. The answer to that is always, always say wrong to sinful things. That's obviously a lesson we often think about, preach on, make sure we know to do. We are to resist the devil. James reminds us we're to be able to say no to temptation as Jesus did. What we're thinking about tonight is something extremely practical. And that is, how do we say no to things that are good? Not because we don't necessarily want to do them, but maybe because they're impeding our ability to do other good things or things we're even better at. Now, before we move on, let me quickly say, there might be a different sermon that needs to be preached from time to time, because there is a time to say yes. There is simply no excuse for a Christian who continually sits on the sidelines. God will not accept us just gliding through life, trying to get away with doing as little good as we possibly can. But most of the time, that's what we preach about. We need to be involved in this and doing this and making sure we're saying yes to that. Maybe a deacon comes up here and says, here's a great work we need to be involved in, and we see how it's going to benefit our evangelistic efforts or our youth group or the community or something, and or our widows or whatever it happens to be. And some folks hear that and goes in one ear out the other, and they never say yes to anything. But there are others who hear those good things, and they're doing a lot of wonderful things in the Lord's work, and they hear those announcements, and they feel guilty. Because they begin to think, well, maybe I need to add that to what I'm already doing too. And if I don't, then I start to feel like I'm a disappointment to the Lord, or I'm being unfaithful because I don't add this other good thing. Folks, Jesus got away to rest. There were times when Jesus sent away a crowd in order to just deal with one person or with the apostles. There were times, we'll read about one this evening, where Jesus even did not do miracles in certain places because he knew they would not accomplish the purpose that miracles are supposed to accomplish. In other words, even though Jesus was remarkably productive, he basically said no at times. And I want to think tonight very practically about how to say no in a godly way. How do we say no to things that are neutral or even good, but do so in a way that still honors God and still holds together Christian unity? This is a lesson, hopefully, that will cause all of us not to just say no to everything, but to stay focused on where are my talents, where are my abilities, say yes to that, and focus there. But in a godly way, say no to other things. Six observations tonight. First of all, when we do this, we need to be reasonable. We turn to Matthew chapter 13. We don't say no without real, valid reasons. And one way, by the way, we know they're valid reasons is, do they withstand reasonable questioning? A reasonable questioning, not anything crazy. But in Matthew chapter 13, this really long chapter contains a lot of parables of Jesus. It's a remarkable chapter filled with a lot of teaching about the kingdom and about human hearts. But if you go all the way to the end of the chapter, look at what is found in beginning in verse 53 and going to the end of the chapter. Matthew 13, beginning of verse 53. And when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there, and coming to his hometown, that's Nazareth, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Keep the last phrase in mind. Jesus did not just say no, if I can put it that way, to doing miracles. Matthew calls them mighty works for some off-the-wall reason. His reasoning was that the miracles were not going to do what the miracles were designed to do. Miracles or mighty works were designed to cause people to believe in the Word of God or the messenger of God. We often say that they were meant to confirm the Word. But Jesus, knowing the hearts of these individuals, knew that if he performed these mighty works, they would not have that desired outcome. And so he gave a reasonable no to doing that particular thing in that particular location. Now, your no may not be about anything that dramatic, but the same concept should stand. Sometimes we say no, and it needs to be for a reason that is truly valid. This is hard is not reasonable. This is going to ruin my health is reasonable. I just don't feel like it is not reasonable. I have two things scheduled back to back on that day, and I physically cannot be in two places at one time is reasonable. You think about what reasonable responses do. If we say a no, reasonableness does not mean that everyone will agree with your reasons. Some may not. Maybe they should, but some people don't and some people won't. Reasonableness does not mean, frankly, that you're always right. That's why I said it needs to stand up to reasonable questioning. Sometimes people ask a question about our response and get us to realize this is not a reasonable answer. I need to make sure I change my answer or rethink what I'm doing. It also does not mean you've given up the ability to change your mind. Circumstances could change, abilities could change, but it does mean you have prayerfully considered options and you've done what you think is the wisest and most righteous thing in the moment, realizing that you may not always get it right, but you're trying. When we say no, do it with true, valid reasoning. Number two, as you say no, be gentle. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, Colossians 4 and verse 6. In Proverbs 15, verse 1, Solomon said, A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Think about that word soft in Proverbs 15, 1 for a moment. Some other translations have words like gentle. It's a Hebrew word that's very rich in meaning. This same word is found in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 7 to describe tender meat. David used the same word in 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 39 to describe himself as gentle or restrained in contrast to men of violence. But my favorite use of this word is in Genesis 29 and verse 17, where it describes the tender eyes of Leah. That's my favorite use of this word. So when Solomon speaks of a soft word, he is saying that we need to be gentle or restrained or tender in our language whenever possible. Should that not be the case when we're simply saying no to someone about the types of things we're talking about? You ever ask someone to help you with a project at church, maybe to co-teach with you or to go visit someone or something, and they just shout back, no. It's kind of jarring, isn't it, for them just to shoot back in that way. Now, maybe they were just having a bad moment, but hopefully they say something like, I'm sorry. That's a wonderful thing, but that evening I already am going visiting with someone else. Do you see the difference in just shooting back a no and being very gentle with it? When we give gentle no's, a gentle no is measured. It's not reactive. A gentle no uses words that are kind, that they're not abrasive. And a gentle word, as best we can, shows restraint. It's not impulsive. Think about the no. And be very careful in how you say it. Number three, we say no in a godly way by being distinct. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. And I know the context we're going to read specifically deals with taking oaths. But Jesus gives a principle at the end of this paragraph that's very powerful to us in governing all of our speech, but especially what we're thinking about tonight. Matthew 5, beginning of verse 33, we'll read through verse 37. Again, you've heard that it was said to those of old, You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath. Your translation may say, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath or swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Your translation may say, from the evil one. Now again, in context, Jesus is talking obviously about taking oaths. But that last verse, verse 37, is a guiding principle for all of our speech. Just tell the truth. Just be distinct in that way. If we're going to say no, don't hem-haw around it. Don't say, well, I'd like to, and if things ease up this weekend, I'll think about it. Knowing in the back of your mind, you're not going to do it anyway. Just be distinct. Just be honest. Just say no. One writer, in writing about this verse, Matthew 5:37, wrote this very simple statement: purposely indistinct answers are demonic. Now, that may seem very blunt, but reread the section that Jesus says here. Anything more than yes or no, is from evil, or is from the evil one. If I know the answer, but I tiptoe around it, and I don't really give an answer when I clearly could do so, that's not only unfair to the other person, it's being dishonest with the other person. It is true that saying no might hurt that person's feelings. And I think that's probably why we sometimes struggle to do it. I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want to think I'm putting them down. But to say something that's not really true or to go all around the truth could end up hurting far, far more in the long run. It could end up ruining the relationship. Plus, of course, lying is a sin. People deserve a clear answer when we have the ability to give one. And so Noah comes up to you and says, hey, we've got a youth event in a couple of months. Would you be willing to have that at your house? You could say, I appreciate you asking, and I think we'll think about that, unless you think it's best to have it somewhere else. So we'll consider it, but there's a driveway that needs patching, and it seems like a good idea. Now, did you say yes or no? Nobody has any idea. The answer is no, but you didn't say it. Instead, how about, I really appreciate you thinking of us, but really I'm not comfortable with kids in my house. But if you find a place, I'll be glad to donate some money for them. Do you see the difference in those answers? You gave a no. You were clear, you were honest, and you also affirmed that this is a good thing and gave an alternative to help. Combine this with the rest of the points we talked about already. In other words, don't just blurt out no, but also don't tiptoe around the answer. Say what needs to be said. It is remarkable how rare honesty is when we must say no. We're distinct when we actually do it. Number four, be edifying. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, writing to Christians and dealing with Christians, Paul wrote, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. That word corrupting in that verse comes from a word that literally means rotten or putrefying. We very often use this verse to talk about things like blasphemy or cursing, and that's a proper application. But notice that Paul says that all we are to speak is things that are for the building up. Some translations have, for edifying. This might be one of the most difficult things to apply when we think about saying no to a good thing. But sometimes in saying no, we also take a shot at the one who asked. Sometimes when we say no, we take a subtle jab at the person or the work, and it hurts their feelings and hurts the work. But this is a brother or sister in Christ, and they believe this is a good thing. They believe this is a helpful thing. It may just not be your thing, or it may be something simple you cannot do. You're asked to help with decorate the Vacation Bible School. This is a problem I have never had. I have never once been at, and I've done it, and you can probably tell. But You're asked to help decorate for Vacation Bible School, and it's really not your thing. You could say, yeah, thanks for asking, but I think it's silly that we put up all that stuff for those kids, so I'm going to pass. Or you could say, I'm glad you asked, but I'm not really the VBS type. But I'm glad you're going to do a great job. And if you'd help decorating with something else, maybe the Ladies' Day, I'd be glad to help. Do you see the difference? You admitted this is not your thing. But you edified the person by saying, what you're doing is a good thing. It's just not my thing. And I want to help partner with you in other good things. There is a world of difference in those answers. They're both no's, but one makes a world of difference from the others. Turn the tables for a moment. If you asked someone and it wasn't their thing, how would you want them to respond to you? By attacking you or the thing? Or just by calmly saying no, but affirming that what you're doing is a good thing? It's just not my thing. Number 5, be peaceful. Turn to Romans chapter 14. In the latter part of this chapter, Paul is writing about doing our best to get along with fellow Christians, doing our best to avoid putting stumbling blocks in the way of brothers and sisters in Christ, that sort of thing. In the midst of that discussion, Romans 14, 19, he wrote this, "So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding." I wanted to include this point because the word no, by its very nature, is a negative word. And so it may seem like it doesn't fit with pursuing peace and saying no. But it actually does. And it does so because, in one way, it demonstrates what peace really is. In Scripture, peace is not just the absence of conflict. Peace is basically the calm assurance that God is in control of circumstances, even the circumstances that may seem unpeaceful and may be unpeaceful in the moment. But also notice that word pursue. It does not say, the verse does not say just be peaceful. It says to pursue those things that make for peace. And sometimes that's saying no because it's honest, because it's saying yes to something else, because it gives you an opportunity to suggest someone else who's frankly better than you are. I appreciate you asking me, but here's a new Christian. You haven't met this person yet. They were just baptized 3 or 4 weeks ago. You probably don't know this, but their former job was, Phil, this is your person. That's the person. And what a peaceful thing that is, because now that person is plugged in with their talents and shine, where yours would not have anymore. But there's also another way in which, if we practice saying an honest no, it leads to peace. Because if I never know, you never know, if I'm really saying yes or no, or I'm kind of saying no but not actually saying no, what we often do is begin to bargain. I know you said no, but I don't believe you said no, so what if I ask you to do this instead? Well, I don't know about that either. So, and we hit a sort of Church of Christ standoff where you ask one thing and I sort of give an answer, so you sort of give a response and I sort of give an answer instead of just saying, no, I can't do that. And I trust that there's honesty behind that. There's no bargaining. It's just simply, here is where I work. Here is where my talents shine. And here's where yours do. And we're working together in the kingdom. And number 6, we say no in a godly way by being long-term thinking. In other words, don't just say no all the time. We circle back to how we began. There are times to say yes so that our minds are set on doing all the good we can do for as long as we can in the world. Folks, it will not go well on Judgment Day for those who said no to good things all the time just to say yes to me all the time. Are the things that I say yes to only earthly things? Or am I saying yes to things that matter in eternity? Am I saying no to things that would really, where my talents really could be used to the Lord, just so that I can do some more things that I want to do in life? I may say no to teaching a Bible class for 1 quarter, but it's because I'm saying yes to spending more time studying the Bible in my home with individuals, maybe in a way that almost no one knows about. I may say no to helping World Bible School for a short time, just because I already do other things online to help spread the gospel, and I want to focus my abilities, my talents there. I may even say no to going to visit someone one evening because I need to say yes to spending time with my spouse and making my marriage stronger. I'll just tell you, I'm saying no to Mission Monday tomorrow night because it's Leah's birthday. My ministry tomorrow night is with that woman, and that's more important, frankly. Sorry if you don't believe that, but I do. So long as our yeses and our noes are oriented toward eternity, we can know that we are wise and righteous. We are trying to do our best to think just beyond today, but how I can use what I can do for as long as I can where God has placed my talents and my abilities to His glory. This is a lesson that I hope will not cause everybody to say, well, Adam said we don't have to do anything. That's not the point. It's really a lesson about focus. It's a lesson about concentration. Because when we say yes to things that are within our talents and our abilities, and then when each one of us does that, we become like that picture of the church of a building being built up. But when we're run ragged because the same people just say yes all the time because they feel guilty, that's not good for anybody. Learn to say no to those things that hold you back from saying yes to the very best things that you could be doing in the Lord's service. Because then when you say yes, you are able to say, I'm giving everything I have with the talents and abilities God has given me to His glory. I told Leah today, I've never preached a sermon like this one. I read something about this a long time ago, and I thought, I've never heard a sermon about saying no to doing good things. But you combine it with the fact that even Jesus got away. Even Jesus rested. God set in our lives the fact we cannot do everything all the time. But we balance that with we do all the good that we can with the talents He's given us and always to His glory. And He'll be pleased so long as our mind is set on serving Him. Now here's an odd transition to an invitation. Who needs to say yes to Jesus? That's a no. God's given you the ability to say no to Him. That's the worst no you could ever say. He has told you everything. He has given you everything to say yes to Him in baptism for forgiveness of sins and a life of faithfulness. And maybe tonight, either you've never been baptized or as a Christian, you're not walking in faithfulness. We invite you to come. Always stand and sing to encourage you.